Monday through Friday at this time, the Columbia Broadcasting System presents Service Time. Every Tuesday afternoon, this program is devoted to the men who sail the ships of the United States Merchant Marines. In cooperation with the War Shipping Administration, Columbia brings you It's Maritime. It's Maritime, a program dramatizing the history and color of the American Merchant Marine. This is the story of the sea, of clipper ships and schooners, of plodding convoys and liberty ships. This is the story of maritime America. Today you'll hear about a famous American author who went to sea. You'll learn about the important part books play in the lives of our merchant seamen. And there'll be music with Ensign Philip Lang directing the orchestra of the Maritime Training Station of Cheapshead Bay. Yes, it's maritime. More than 20 years ago, two Mexican composers wrote a sort of Mexican cowboy song that quickly spread north of the border to become a popular classic. It's El Rancho Grande. About the sea was born in New York City in 1819. He was of Scotch and Dutch descent, one of eight children. At the age of 15, he was a bank clerk. But 2 years later, destiny finally caught up with him on a dock in New York Harbor.
I'd like to see Captain Saunders, if you please, sir.
Yes? What do you wish to see him about?
I've heard that he needs a new cabin boy.
And have you ever been to sea?
Well, no, sir. But I've read many books about it.
Hmm.
Oh, do you think it'll make any difference that I've had no experience?
I don't think Captain Saunders will mind.
Oh, well, where can I find Captain Saunders, sir?
I'm Saunders. We sail in 2 days for Liverpool. What's your name, lad?
You mean I'm hired?
That's right. I'll sign you on now.
Oh, my name is Herman Melville, sir.
Herman Melville.
Two years later, Herman Melville stumbled over a magazine article that caught his imagination. He read it aboard ship by the flickering light of a lantern.
What are you reading there, Melville?
Knickerbocker Magazine. There's an article here about a whale.
Yeah, you're always reading. Reading.
This is about a white whale named Mocha Dick. Says here he's had hundreds of escapes from whaling boats, but he's never given up trying to catch them. You know, someday I'm going to sail on a whaler. I'd sure like to see him. It's Mocha Dick.
In 1841, Herman Melville sailed on his first whaler. It was the Acushnet out of Fairhaven, Massachusetts, bound for the Pacific. The ship's log lists Herman Melville, age 21, height 5 feet, 9.5 inches, complexion dark, hair brown. Melville's only friend was a young man named Dick Green. Conditions aboard the whaler were incredible.
Captain, won't allow that stick to be treated. He doles out provisions as if he were shipwrecked. It gives us no chance to speak to him of any grievance. What can we do, Dick?
Wish I knew. If you so much as say a word to the captain, he hits you with a handspike. There's two men below deck with broken skulls.
Well, someday this sort of thing won't be allowed to happen aboard ship. Seamen will have protection from such unscrupulous captains.
Melville, where are we now? Are there any islands near here?
I looked at the captain's chart this morning. We're not far from the Marquesas.
Well, I know one thing. First port we drop anchor in, I'm going to jump ship.
All right, Dick. I'll come with you. We'll do it together.
When the Acushnet arrived at the Marquesas, the two boys jumped ship. After a stay among the Polynesians, they signed on an Australian whaler and went back to sea. Melville landed in Honolulu, and from that port shipped out aboard the frigate United States as an ordinary seaman. He then signed on for another cruise, which ended in Boston in October 1844.
Well, Mr. Melville, it's been quite a cruise.
Yes, Captain. We've been at sea for 3 years.
We'll be sailing again very shortly, as soon as the ship's repaired. Are you going to sign on again?
No, sir. I'm going to my brother's home in Upper New York State.
Oh, you're a seaman. You'll never be happy ashore.
But I won't really be ashore, sir.
What do you mean?
I'm going to write some books.
Books?
Uh-huh. About my experiences. I want to tell people about all I've seen. Perhaps if I write about the injustices I've known, it may help other seamen. Perhaps I can do something to make their lives easier.
That is exactly what Herman Melville did. The seamen he had sailed with turned up as characters in his books. Dick Green became Toby and Kitey. The whale Mocha Dick became the monster whale Moby Dick. And Melville's literary works helped to improve conditions aboard ship for all seamen who sail on whalers. Today, Herman Melville is recognized as America's great maritime novelist, famous for authentic tales of heroism and adventure based upon his experiences on American merchant ships. Many an underground song has come to America aboard our merchant ships. Sometimes a seaman whistles the melody. Sometimes it's written on a scrap of paper. Here is such a song from France. Petty Officer Tony DeLeva sings Song of Liberation.
Oh, friend, can you hear the flight overhead of the raven? Oh, friend, can you hear the faint muffled cries of our country? Arise, partisans, arise, you tillers of the land, rise, you workers. The hangman shall pay for the bloodshed and the tears and the sorrow. We're smashing the bars of the prison to free all our comrades. We're hunted by hate and we're driven by misery and hunger. In some countries, people still dream and all their dreams are so peaceful. But here we all march and we fight and we kill, kill or be killed. Oh, friend, can you hear the faint muffled cry of our country? Oh, friend, can you hear the flight overhead of the raven?
Important part in the lives of our seamen. They are the only form of relaxation possible on a crowded merchant ship, and that's where the seagoing library of the American Merchant Marine Library Association does a real job. Here is Miss Maisie Baird Culbertson to tell us something about it.
Our books traveled every port and fighting front in the world. We're proud to be the public library of the high seas.
Well, how do you go about this big job, Miss Culbertson?
The seamen come in or telephone and ask that a library be placed aboard their ship. Each library consists of 40 books, 26 volumes of fiction, 14 nonfiction, and one Bible. We add 30 pocketbooks as fillers and a package of magazines. We have 15 port offices in the United States where libraries may be obtained or exchanged.
And such a library is placed aboard every merchant ship?
That's our purpose. You'll be interested to hear a story that Mrs. Howard tells. A ship left port. This was before the present war. And after they weighed anchor, they discovered they had no library aboard. They had neglected to call and ask for one. But a resourceful seaman wrote a note to us, giving their ports of call in South America. He wanted to know if we could dispatch a library for them by air to one of those ports. He put the note in a bottle, sealed it, and tossed it overboard with the hope that old Neptune would be his postman. And believe it or not, the bottle washed ashore in Florida. It was immediately sent to us. The books were dispatched without delay, and the crew of that ship got their books.
Well, tell us, how many books are returned?
About 10%. The average voyage now takes about 6 months, and that means we need more books. The ship's being away so long. There's one book we never get back, the Bible.
Well, what becomes of the books that aren't returned?
Many are lost when ships are torpedoed, and many are given away to soldiers and sailors in foreign ports.
Well, what sort of books do seamen read?
Good books. Much better than we do ashore, really. You see, reading is their chief diversion aboard ship.
I suppose they read lots of detective stories.
They're popular, of course, but their real favorites are westerns and books about the sea. Books by Conrad and Melville.
I understand you also have a lending library ashore.
Yes. Here in New York, we have a shore library of some 12,000 books. Half of them are technical books. The men borrow them for study, both at sea and ashore, to increase their ratings.
You must need more books all the time because so few come back.
Yes, we do. We never have enough. All our books are given to us, and we need more than 600,000 a year. They provide relaxation for some American boy far away in some remote port.
I also understand it's possible to buy a memorial library for a ship.
Yes, anyone can donate a library for a designated ship. $100 provides a library of 40 new and carefully selected books. No gift can give as much pleasure for so small an investment of money. Our own association placed a special library, given by Mrs. Howard, our president, aboard the Liberty ship Amla, the ship named for our American Merchant Marine Library Association.
Where can contributions of books and money be sent, Miss Culbertson?
To the Merchant Marine Library, New York 6, or west of the Mississippi to San Francisco 11. Remember, we want good books. Wrap that new book you've just read and enjoyed so much and mail it to us.
And I'll repeat that address. Send your contribution, even if it's only one book, to the Merchant Marine Library, New York 6, or west of the Mississippi to San Francisco 11. Send your books to sea with the men of our Merchant Marine. One night in the week, above all others, probably holds fond memories for every American away from home. Saturday night, the night that used to mean a dance or a trip downtown. Saturday night is now a very different. Petty Officer Lenny Gaynor tells you about it in Saturday Night is the Loneliest Night in the Week.
Thank you. till I hear you at the door. Until you're in my arms once more.
You struggle through the water not knowing what direction you're headed or how long you can keep going. Each wave comes crashing down on you like a ton of bricks. You gasp for air as you struggle to keep afloat. Your hands are numb and cold. There's no feeling in your legs. Your voice dies in your throat.
Help! Help!
You call, but no one answers. Brother, you were never so alone in all your life. You're all by yourself in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. This time you think you hear someone answer. You've been in the water for more than an hour. You're dog tired, so tired it's playing tricks with your hearing. But you call again.
Help! Help!
Hello! Where are you?
Here I am! Over here!
Keep swimming!
You'll make it!
I'm gonna make it.
Keep coming, Joe! It's me, Prominent!
Here. Grab my hand.
I can't reach it. Come on, jump a little further.
There you are.
Friendly hands pull you up to safety. 1 minute, you're all alone in the middle of the Pacific. And the next, you're with two other guys, bobbing up and down on a life raft. You huddle together in the darkness, trying to keep warm. The night is bitter cold, but dawn brings the sun and burning, suffocating heat.
Where do you suppose we are?
Someplace in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, I know that.
I wonder what's become of the others. There's no sign of any rafts or lifeboats.
Well, I finished checking over our food supply.
Yeah? How do we stand?
There's enough to last about 20 days, if we're careful.
And brother, we'll be careful. How you feeling, Joe?
I'm okay.
You was lucky how we picked you up last night.
You know, an ocean never looked this big before.
Wonder how long it'll be before we rescue it.
You know, I've often thought about what I'd do if I was ever shipwrecked.
Yeah, me too. You're playing things. I was going to fill my pockets with food and stuff. When that tin fish struck the ship, I didn't have time to do anything but get over the side.
Hey, look what I got in my pocket. Huh? Got all about it.
A book?
Yeah. Borrowed it from the ship's library last night. I was going to read it in my bunk.
What's the name of it?
Sort of a kid's book. Treasure Island.
That's a book I was meant to read. Never did.
Yeah? Hey, let's read it now. It'll help us pass the time. We'll read it out loud. Each of us take turns.
That's a swell idea.
I'll start the first chapter.
Yeah, hey, wait a minute. Got a pair of dark glasses.
Thanks.
You know that? Where are the sun in these pages that burn holes in your eyes if you didn't wear them?
Yeah. Yeah, this is much better. Okay. All set?
Get underway.
Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson, Chapter 1. Squire Trelawney, Dr. Livesey, and the rest of these gentlemen having asked me to write down the whole particulars about Treasure Island from the beginning to the end, keeping nothing back but the bearings of the island.
Book.
Yeah. Here you are, Joe.
It's your turn to read.
I'd rather hear you fellas. Give Ted to read next.
No, nothing doing. You got out of it before, but you're not going to today. Give him the book and the glasses.
Okay. Guess I'll have to tell you.
Tell us why.
Well, I never learned to read. Not well enough to read a book.
Oh, why didn't you say so?
Here, Ed.
You read it.
Sure do wish I could read.
Chapter 11. What I heard in the apple barrel.
Ship.
We're safe.
You bet we're safe. Hell, you can throw that book away now.
Oh, no, you don't. I want that book.
What for?
Well, when I get back to the States, I'm going to learn how to read. Yes, sir. Someday, I'm going to read Treasure Island.
Years ago, Mr. M.A. Meekum of Boston wrote a little march for the piano, which some years later was played by every band that marched across these United States. It's the American Patrol. Thank you. Millions of Americans are giving their blood to save the lives of our men overseas. Millions of Americans are working day and night to produce supplies and equipment to save more lives. But blood plasma, food, and munitions in America will not help G.I. Joes in Europe and the South Pacific and Italy and the Philippines. If you have ever sailed as a licensed mate, engineer, or AB, you are needed aboard ship right now. It's up to you to return to sea and help deliver the blood and the goods that the sweat of millions of Americans have made so that lives of our fighting men, wherever they are, will be saved. Write or wire collect, Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C. Give your name, address, rating, and when you will be ready to save some G.I. Joes.
You have heard it, Maritime, one of a series of service time programs which is brought to you every day, Monday through Friday. It's Maritime is presented each Tuesday afternoon in cooperation with the War Shipping Administration. The music was played by the orchestra of the United States Maritime Training Station of Sheepshead Bay, Long Island, under the direction of Ensign Philip Lang. Join us again next week when it's Maritime. It's Maritime is written by Vincent McConner, and in the absence of Earl McGill, was directed by Robert Cheyenne. Tomorrow, Service Time, in collaboration with the United States Army, will present Wax on Parade. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.